Cool. Hi, everyone. I'm Jake Hillian. I was hoping to present this with Johannes Spoekberger, but he hasn't quite made it yet due to Deutsche Bahn delays, mainly. But he should be here, hopefully, by the end to say hello. We're here to talk today about a side project we've been working on involving concurrency testing using custom Linux schedulers. I work at Meta, and I work on schedulers, mainly custom Linux schedulers. So this is pretty related to what I do. Johannes is an OpenJDK developer who recently had to spend a lot of time debugging a race condition. So we hope we could put those two things together, and we've got a bit of a proof of concept today that we can show you and explain how it works to attempt to make these a little bit more likely to occur, which should make them easier to debug. So, Heisenbugs. I imagine lots of us are familiar. You've got the same input, you hope for the same output, but instead you get a crash. This is not great. And it's especially not great when it happens 1 in 10,000 or 1 in 100,000 or 1 in a million invocations. As an application owner, debugging that from reports is very tricky. We'll go for a simple example now. Very simple, because these things get complex in reality. But imagine we've got some data being produced from a producer thread, and we're consuming it in a consumer thread. In our case, and in our example later on, there's an explicit expiry date on that data, which isn't what really happens in production. More likely, you've got some reference to a pointer that you might clear in some other thread, all of these expiry reasons that data might no longer be valid at some point in the future. It doesn't crash the vast majority of the time. The reason for this is that schedulers are pretty good, but when that interaction happens, when your machine gets a bit busy, when some processes get in the way that you weren't expecting, when the network gets slow, all of these things can just add extra delay. So a large reason for these conditions is scheduling. We see this, for example, RR, the debugger, has a chaos mode that's supposed to make these a lot more likely too, but that has its own issues. What is scheduling then? What do we actually do? In this case, we're talking about CPU scheduling. It's one of the more common types. The problem we have, we've got many processes, likely in the order of thousands, and some number of CPUs, likely in the order of tens nowadays. And we need to somehow make sure all those processes work successfully on that CPU to share the system. The simplest way we might do this is just to schedule process A, and whenever it stops, we'll schedule process B. Unfortunately, that really does not work. There are classes of non-preemptive schedulers. Sometimes it makes sense, but the vast majority of the time, we're going to need to schedule B a bit sooner, or the issues we were talking about before, they'll happen more often, network timeouts, all that sort of thing. So instead, we go over time, and we'll stop scheduling A for a bit. B might not be ready the next time. We might schedule A again. We'll schedule B. We'll schedule A. We'll flip back and forth, and we're doing this on the scale of many thousands of processes, likely with several ready at any point in time. On an actual system, it might look something like this. We're not going to be able to look at any of the detail on this chart, but on the left, in the y-axis, we have which CPU we're looking at. As we go across, we're looking at what's happening on that CPU, whether a process is scheduled, the different colors, the different processes, and it all gets quite complex. But these sort of charts are super interesting. This is a 6.12 Linux system just running EVDF, the default scheduler. We can see processes are darting around all over the place. They're coming in, they're running for a short time. Some of them are long-running, they move about a bit. There's all sorts of complexity, and this is even on a pretty quiet system. When you start looking at big systems, hundreds of CPUs, the interactions just get way more complicated. So when we look at our race conditions, you're replicating this on your lovely dev machine. You've got, you know, a 32-core processor. It's nice and quiet. You don't want anything getting in the way of your testing. The bug never happens, ever. It's a nightmare. You know it's happening. People are reporting it. You're running the standard scheduler, and the bug never happens. You can try running stresses in the background, and that might make it a little bit more likely, but the bug still never happens. Working on custom schedulers at Meta, I got to work with some schedulers that are not too good, which is great. It turns out when you write a scheduler yourself and you add loads of configuration options, there are many ways to configure that scheduler badly. And I found one a little while ago. I was working on a service, I was writing a scheduler, I got the configuration terribly wrong, and the service failed. It really didn't work. But there were three parts to the service. Two of them hit massive timeout errors, but they came back to life. One of them crashed. So 250 hosts died all at once because of my scheduler. It turns out this was a race condition. Someone was storing the value of a shared pointer instead of copying the shared pointer in C++ for efficiency reasons, and they got it wrong. So if there was a long enough delay in scheduling, the service would crash. This does happen in the real application, but it's so rare that nobody would ever look at it. Or even if you did, you would really struggle to replicate it. So what if we wrote a scheduler that was deliberately bad? What if it was deliberately erratic and got us into these states more often where these errors are likely to happen? That's what we've got a demo of today, but how would you write an erratic scheduler? Well, there's some options here. You could write it in the Linux kernel. You might have a hard time doing that in general. The scheduler is very sensitive. If you get it slightly wrong, your system will hit the soft lockup detector and immediately reboot, which is a bit of a pain. It's hard to do. If you get it wrong in memory unsafe ways, your system will crash even more quickly. And if you get it right, you're still waiting, well, maybe in the tens of seconds for a k-exec every time you want to change your kernel. This is a bit awkward. Nowadays, we can do it in user space. Johannes likes to talk about Java. He's got a project that I'm not going to give enough credit in this presentation because I don't know enough about it, where you can write these schedulers in Java. I'm more familiar with the Rust ones. You can also do it in C, if that's what you like to. And it's all because of BPF, which is the B, Schedext, which is the, I think we're supposed to call it a sextopus, which is an interesting choice of logo we got there. And then this is the additional logo on the right. This is a photo of Brendan Gregg supposedly shouting at hard drives, but there's a quote about putting JavaScript into the Linux kernel here. Many similarities between the eBPF, the way it runs in the kernel, and a virtual